eventually, and that's called our tool shed, will be synced with stuff online. We're writing a whole new discipleship curriculum, which will help you in a matter of years learn how to be a faithful follower in Jesus via the Holy Spirit, and also train up other people. All those resources are going to be online. Some of them are online. And we just believe that God is growing us, and we're just trying to get ready for things, not that we believe in name it or claim it or anything like that, but we're growing, and we want to be on top of it. And some people are like, well, that's not normal for an urban church that's broke to be able to do that stuff. I know. And so we're trying to, like, be as good as we can for the kingdom. It has nothing to do with being worldly. It has everything to do with being professional, even though we're goofy. Goofy Professional is our new name. That's the Goofy Professional Church. Well, that's a rough crowd. All right. So just so know, and so some of you got an email in the last couple of weeks, and some of you can if you haven't. This new software we have, it's a place where you can go and log in and put your family's info, all the stuff you want in there and what you don't want in there. It's real simple, and it'll be just that easy when you show up in the morning. If you're already in the database, you can just, we'll sign you in, and you're done. But there's also resources on there for giving. There's also resources on there for groups, like your life groups are in little communicating groups where you can upload stuff. You can put stuff on there about coming events just for your groups. Kids ministry, tech leaders, every group in our church is in here. And it's just kind of a cool little resource that we're going to start using. So log in, fish around, mess with it. If you have any questions, let us know. And we would love to help you maneuver your way through that. Amen? Amen. We started about 2 weeks ago. Last week we were honored to have Dr. Davis here. Amen. And he brought the word like he always does. Of him coming to spend time with us. He means the world to many of us and myself. So we're blessed to have him here for Mother's Day. And we started a week before that talking about parenting. And we had a dedication service where we dedicated our kids to the Lord as a prayer, but we didn't do it on an individual basis. We did it as a group. And it's important for us because, A, we're rebellious and don't do things anybody else's way, right? And B, the whole point of this matter is your kids will be as dedicated as you want as far as shepherding. You are your children's shepherd. And so we began to talk about what it is to shepherd your kids. If you're single, for you to learn what it is to be a shepherd of kids first, right? It's not bad to get a little on-the-ground training, amen? If you are older and your kids are moved out and you're grandparents, you can always still become more godly grandparents. And if you're people that have never had children, there are still patriarchs and matriarchs in the church that are vital and important to raising kids. Amen? And so, like I said before, we have not preached about this in our entire existence as a church for 7 years. And like I said, the reason behind that was is because we believe that closer disciples of Jesus who are following him will become better parents, better grandparents, better fill in the blank. And by the way, that's worked. It's been like a little social experiment we didn't mean to do, but it's actually working. Amen? And so we started this for the first time just talking about what it is to be godly parents. And we talked about dedicating our children, which means all in all, in the end, is that dedicating our kids means dedicating yourself to the Lord first and foremost. I was thinking about parenting this week, and I have five beautiful babies. We lost our first child before the five, back when Jen and I first got married. We also recently, after a two-year-long fight, lost out on an adoption of a little girl, which was hard, but God did some cool things in the middle of it. And through this whole journey as a parent, a couple things have become aware to me. One is that God has shown himself to me just like marriage. You know when you get married and you think you're godly or you're trying to be godly and then you get married and there's all this junk that comes flashed out real quick? Amen? And you're like, oh, I got stuff to work on. And now there's two beautiful sinners in one home, right? And so it's just that much easier to be good. And so you guys hash that out. But in it, and scripture is so clear that being married is this beautiful imagery of a husband and a wife and God and his church, right? We know in Ephesians 5 that it's how women are supposed to submit as they do to the Lord, and men are supposed to lead their husbands and like Christ led his church. And so there's this beautiful picture. And so marriage, if you are... Ooh. Those are my children correcting me. This whole sermon just changed. We are not an egalitarian church, by the way. You know what I meant. Men leading their husband as Christ led his church. God forgive me. We want to bid you a good week. God bless you. Have a good week. Men leading their wives as Christ led his church. Boy, we just opened ourselves up for a whole new clientele of what we're doing in here. Which is really not, but anyway. You know what I mean. So I have learned, thank God that he is here. Amen. I have learned through marriage what it is to be more like Jesus. Jesus has exposed himself to me in a new way, being married, that I couldn't get before. And so I thought that was pretty cool. And hard, and it sucks sometimes, amen. But then I had kids, and then he showed me himself even more. And I remember, I wasn't a believer really when my oldest son was born. But I remember being so blown away, and God started to ratchet on my heart. I was not a believer. I was an angry man. I remember having Cale, and we were in the hospital for 3 days because we had to stay for some extra stuff. And when we went home, I wouldn't even get on the highway. We had like this brand new car, and I had belted in like 16 different ways. I was using all my weight to tie them down, and Jen sat in the back and held on to the carrier. And we drove home, and we lived in Valley, help us back in the day, and so we lived way, way, way on the north side. We should have just got on the highway from the hospital, St. Francis, but instead we just drove Broadway, and I went slower than usual, which is odd for me. And so we toured, and I got home, and we're carrying him, and just so delicate, and he's a baby, you know, and Jen and I worked so hard on his room, and we were really just, I was in awe, and God started to tweak me then even a little bit. I couldn't argue for primordial soup anymore when I held my son. You know what I mean? And then when I became a believer, we had Noah. Noah came along, my second oldest, just as I was becoming a believer. And man, as God over the years opened up my heart to see what it is to have kids, it did two things to me again. Number one, it showed me how much of a fool I am. Parenting has been hard. Amen? Some of you know the world we live in and the stuff we deal with. And then on top of that, we have all of our own baggage that we're carrying from our past, right? Broken mom and daddy homes and single parent homes and abusive homes, sexually abusive homes. We carry all this baggage. Now we're walking with the Lord, and we have these little ones, and it turns out me and my wife, just like marriage, so dumb. We're going to be such good parents, and we're gonna do the three-strike rule every time. You know, we're going to ask them, tell them, and make them, and just do it with love and like Jesus. It's going to be awesome. And then 2 weeks later, I'm flipping out, going off like Cujo, right? Does anybody in here know what I'm talking about? By the way, I've seen most of you parent. All right, we'll talk about that later, okay. And so the Lord revealed to me that how much I was not prepared to be a daddy, and I was not equipped to be a daddy. And again, he showed me how beautiful he is, and if for a minute, think about it, I finally got it a little bit of what the Father's love was for his children. I was like, oh, man, I love this little person. Just got more than life itself, and thank you for them. And then the scriptures tie that in. How much more will your heavenly Father bless you, discipline you in a right way? And so the scripture started to come alive to me, and I went, oh, I'm starting to get it. And then I get very convicted and very heavy on being a dad because I don't know how to do it. I don't know how. I wish that in my spectrum of being a kid, I look back and I have this superstar dad. You know, he looks like Uncle Rico. He could throw a football over a mountain. And he was amazing. And he preached to me. And he prayed with me. And he was gentle with me. And he rebuked me in love and taught me all these things. Well, I didn't have any of that. And most of us didn't have. Some of you did. And that's a godly head start. But even then, when you start on this thing, it is a journey. Amen? And the cool thing is that the Lord is with us. We can be godly parents and raise godly children. Amen? It is possible. And a lot of us, sometimes I think I check out and I think, man, I don't even know if I can do this at all because I am so busted. I have so many mistakes that I've done with my kids. And the only thing I've learned over the years is just to go backwards. And it's hard because I'm a prideful doofus. But when you mess up, sharing that with your kids, that's fun. Isn't it?
I knew I was right, Dad. You should have just shut up.
No, I'm just kidding. But I just want to encourage you. I just want to encourage you today that God is with us. Who can be against us? And when God is with us, even though it's hard, And even though some of you are dealing with being a single mama and you're struggling, and God is with you. Jesus loves you. Jesus is your all. Jesus is here to make us into new parents and men and women. Amen? And let's go home. Psalms 127 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb of the Lord." I mean, a gift. That is a beautiful thing. Last time we were together, we talked about three things, just to recap them, because I think they're the most important. Number one, we talked about being a parent who's a godly parent leading their kids. And the number one thing we talked about, and it will always be the number one thing, is that you have to make Jesus the first in everything in your life. You cannot give away what you don't have. You can't give away what you don't have. You can't continue to keep walking in your life of brokenness and keep taking your kid to church and expect them to be okay. Now, God works in mysterious ways, right? But it is not the norm. It is not what God's heart is for you and your children. By the way, there's never been a perfect shepherd in all the scriptures except one. Amen? And so if that's true and you are called to shepherd your kids, then there has to be some kind of grace for you. But you have to make Jesus number one in your life. Amen? Because if you don't make Jesus number one in your life, then what will your kids see? Because they mirror, even if they're angry at you. You ever notice when kids, even though they have terrible moms and dads that are struggling, they're always still the top of their heart? I remember when I was a kid, my dad was so far away. And when I was not with him, no matter how far away he was and no matter how much of a goof he'd been, he always was a hero in my heart. Everything was strewed in my mind. Always. Just because he was my dad. And so that carries deep significance. But I needed a shepherd in my home. Amen? And so my job is to be a shepherd. That's our second point last week, is that after we know Jesus and while we're walking him, making him first, number two is we have to lead them. Proverbs 22:6 is a well-abused verse. Train up the child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. That means that you, whether you like it or not, are the first and foremost line and shepherd of your kids. You are. I am. And so I can do two things with that. I can take it and run with it in guilt and continue to bash myself and have a hard time, or I can use that truth to push me closer to the love of Jesus and have him encourage me and help me become a better dad. Amen? And the third thing we talked about last week, and this is the hard word, and it's still hard for me, is that you have to stop worshiping your children. What I don't mean is that you have a big temple of children in your house, and you go and you bow down in front of them physically. But think about it spiritually. Where is all of your time invested? Where is all of your money invested? Where is the gist of your time as far as where you spend as a family? Jesse, is it focusing on the Lord? Is it focusing on them? Is it focusing on their sports? And sports are a good thing. Get your kids in sports and let them play soccer and lacrosse and football and all those things. But you can do that in a way that honors Jesus first and doesn't put them over him. Hear what I'm saying? You can have them be ambassadors to broken children in the middle of the football season, right, as you train them up and send them in. But if there's a time and comes where that and practice and all those things upset your family's connection to the body of Christ, to prayer, the devotion to him, there's a problem. You can't just wait till you can't keep telling your kids that he is the most important thing in your life when it's obvious that they're the most important thing in your life. There has to be a switch. So this week we're going to continue on and hear a few things that God has laid on my heart today, and we'll probably speak about this for the next week or two. The next one is, and I see this, everybody know the story of Jim Elliot? Jim Elliot was this amazing missionary that he gave his life down in South America, went to the Akan Indians, is that correct? And he went down there, and he and, like, what, four other brothers got martyred by these Indians who were, these guys, these Wasani, Watabi? Wadani. I don't want to say Wasabi because that's rude. This is, they were like a sauce, man. Wadani. And so there was this tribe of Wadani, and they were fierce killers, and they would take their spears, and they would jack them into each other. They were completely known for being murderers of each other. They were committing genocide because they were so jealous and angry. They were godless. They had these tree gods and everything. And so these brothers felt so pushed and pulled to go down there to be with these folks that on the second time or third time they were down there, they're out on a beach, and there were some lies going on between some of the tribe and accusations. And so this one guy thought it was good to blame the white men who were out there preaching the word. And so these guys run out with spears, murder every single one of them, all five of them. Or dead. Jim Elliot, and I forget the name of the other brothers, but I thought about this for a minute. I think that is an amazing story of martyrdom. And he's an amazing man, and he made a difference in my life and a lot of people's life. Matter of fact, missions kind of exploded even more out of his sacrifice and in their lives in the 50s. And then I thought about this for a minute. I was like, what about his mama? What kind of person was she? What kind of man was his daddy? What kind of trust must they have had to be able to let their kid go? And he was a man. But what kind of mom or dad develops that kind of warrior in their son? And it made me think about Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. It's a verse that we talk about for ourselves, but it's key for parenting. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. That is good for me. But in my parenting, is that verse key for my parenting? Do I trust the Lord in everything, even with my children? Because some of us, I know, including myself, have this waylaid anxiety over our children. We see the world they live in. Amen? Is everybody happy about the world they live in? Some of you have prodigal sons and daughters. Amen? And here's the cool thing about the prodigal dad that we don't look at a lot. Is that here's his dad, he has a son, he comes for his inheritance, I want it early. The father gives it to him early, he runs away, he squanders it, and he ends up coming back, and the father loves him, most of you know the story. But can you imagine for a minute, it never shows any argument from the father. The son comes to get his inheritance, and maybe we can assume there was some kind of argument, like dad's like, no, please don't go, you know, they have some traumatic thing. But the Lord, in order for the son to be able to let God deal with him on the outside, had to be released by his father on the inside so the Lord could have his way with him. And so this father, seemingly in the prodigal story, had to trust on the outside of what was going on. The same thing is for my kids. I am worried to death. Worried to death about what could happen to my children. Worried. Some of you have prodigal sons and daughters that your heart has been breaking over for years. Amen? You have been crying out to God to save your kids and crying out to God to save your grandkids and weeping for them to be made right with the Lord. And those are heavy places. But the cool thing is that the same emphasis I can put on my life, that I need to trust the Lord with all my heart and all my strength, everything. I need to put everything into the Lord. Trust him first. Cast all my anxieties on him and then he will take over. The same thing happens in parenting. Now we're going to talk about in a minute what it is to protect your kid, to shepherd your kid. But there comes a point where you have to hold on to your hands. What if the American dream isn't right for your kids? My heart longs for my kid to go and love Jesus and go to college and get a good job and provide well for his family and plug into that. But honestly, what if that's not God's heart? What if God's heart for my kids is to be Jim Elliot? Is it possible? We'll talk about more about this in a minute with God's will, but is it possible that in my worry and anxiety, I would be able to hinder somehow the work that the Lord might be doing in my kids? Or trusting the Lord with, what if I don't let my kids be in 20 programs and we actually do put more emphasis on the body and more emphasis on praying and I don't let them go do everything and anything they want to do? Will they revolt against me? Will they not trust me as a parent? Will I not be their friend anymore? Well, guess what? You have to trust the Lord, your God, with your kids, and not in a kind way. And I have this bad tendency. I say that, but when it's coming down to actually doing it, I have iron fists of things. Hear what I'm saying? Now trust the Lord. By the way, there is somebody in the universe that has more interest in your kids than you do. Yeah, his name is Jesus. Amen? But do I trust the Lord with my baby? And the second part of that for me, another point this morning, is to be able to, if I trust the Lord, then am I teaching the Lord to seek out my kids, to seek out? I'm going to be a blasphemous 101 by the end of the day. You're going to get like 12 YouTube videos just of today of the blasphemy of Restored Community Church. I knew they were a cult. Look at him. He just said it. God forgive me. Pray for our tech team to be editing well today. Amen. The second part of following Jesus, making Him first in our lives, becoming shepherds, trusting Him with everything, is this, is that I need to purposefully be training my children for the Lord's will. So what that means is when I start with my children, I lead them in God's will. As they get older, I walk with them in God's will. Amen? And we talk about it together. We pray as a teenager. My son, I just started talking to him about, where do you want to go to college? And the first time I brought it up, he's like, I don't know, why are you bringing it up? I still got a few years. He was like tripping. I'm like, I'm not kicking you out today. Okay? Mama and I got that day planned, but it is not today. Amen? I'm just kidding. But I want to walk with my kids on. I've started asking them things like, hey, what do you think God's will is for your life? Are you even praying about what God's will is? What does He want you to do? Because you got to remember, God placed your little ones on earth for His glory and His purposes. So I have to replace the American dream. The American dream is nice, but honestly, look, how well is the American dream working for us as a society of believers and followers of Jesus? It's not. It's not almost at all. And so we have to be careful. And the third part is, so I lead them in God's will. He walks with me in God's will. And then someday I have to release him to God's will. He has to go and do what the Lord puts on his heart. And guess what? I might not even agree with it. But I have to train my sons and daughters and train the sons and daughters of this church that when God speaks, and it's a learning process, is that they need to run, not just seemingly walk. When you know that God is talking, run to God's will. And even if you screw it up, good, because your heart was right in the middle of it. Amen? Listen to these verses. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Great verse for me. Has to be trained in my children. I have to instill in them what it is to seek God first. And they have to see me seek God first. So when crisis comes in my house, guess what? I should be in my prayer closet asking the Lord about what I should be doing, but I should be talking and speaking in front of my little ones about, man, where do you think God's voice is with us, guys? I feel that the Lord is calling us to go here and calling us to do this. And even though this person, this is a good one being a church pastor, you know all those nasty people that talk bad about your dad? Let's pray for them. Instead of the other half of the conversations that they overhear me and mom having at the table. God help us. Think about the Lord's Prayer for a minute. I was thinking about this last night. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Like, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Talk about mantras. Think about anthems that you need to be teaching your children. God, let that come out of the mouths of your kids. God, may your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth in my life as it is in heaven. What a powerful tool that God encourages us with. And so thinking about those things, about encouraging my babies, I have to teach them. And I also have to do this. I have to make sure that my will for my kids is His will for my kids. Right? So that comes with prayer. It comes with patience. It comes with sitting before the Lord and asking Him to lead you and guide you. For those of you who don't have babies yet, pray. Ask God. This is what I've been praying over my kids. My prayer for my kids is this, and it might not be God's will, but I lift it up. My prayer for them since they were little, since I was a believer, is God, please, 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 do not allow my kids to fall into the rut of working a job and attending church. They're brilliant. They're smart. My kids blow me away. They have giving servant hearts. And those are fully expressed in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God. I've been praying since they were little that God would use every one of them in ministry in a big way. And I don't mean just being pastors, missionaries and missionaries' wives or missionaries themselves or servants or, you know, no one wants to be an architect or a builder. You know, everything that way. I'm like, cool. Guess what? Guess how you can use that for the kingdom? Guess how you can use that for the kingdom? I'm trying to aim them to that way in every single way I can. We know that God's will is for us to serve and use Him. And so until God knocks on the door, we're praying, we're talking, we're asking, we're seeking His face over and over again. God, what is your will? What is your will? And then the second one of my biggest prayers for my kids are, God, let them hear. God, would you give my kids, a spiritual gift to be able to hear your voice clear and loudly, that when they get older, that they will be able to hear your voice and act on demand. Matter of fact, that is my number one prayer for my kids. Their salvation, obviously. And beyond that is that they would hear God's voice and act. Those are my two biggest prayers. God, save them. God, use them. And I will pray that till the day I die. My worst fear It's not that my kids would be broke. My worst fear isn't my kids don't have a dream job. My worst fear is that my kids become lukewarm. That's my biggest fear. God, use them, and then I get convicted because I'm like, well, we're still living worldly in ways, and sometimes we battle with this, and this. God, help me shed everything I do because I'm a shepherd. God, help me get this out of my life so I can show them that I'm seeking your will. In good season, we praise God and we seek God's will. In tough seasons, we praise God and we seek his will. Everybody with me? What if you were Jim Elliott's mom or dad? What if they're your kids? You know, when I read the Bible and I was doing a little research, sidebar came to me, about verses about protecting your children. You know how many verses in the Bible it says clearly, parents, protect your children in this, that, this, and the other way? You know how many verses there are like that? I couldn't find any. If you pull up a search in a commentary or Google, God help you, not all of you need to do that. You need to get grounded in your faith before you go to the Google land of seminary, right? Be careful. Never mind, I'm not even going to go there. Every verse that came up that I could pull up about protecting your children said things like, making the little ones stumble, and that it is you will have a millstone tied around your neck if you prohibit these children from coming to me. I was astonished at that. And we know that Jesus was talking to the Pharisees about his people. But if any way, in any form, that had to do with me as a parenting message is, I don't want to become the point of conflict for God's will in my baby's life. Because now it's not just me, and this is some of my fear for some of us in our room, is that we battle with our stuff so much over and over and over again that A, we never get on with it and move on to our kids for real, or B, we don't let them in on the journey and go with us to see how God saves. And so we're so focused on us that we forget that now you have kids where you wanted them or not, whether you have more of them you can handle or not, or whether your situation is perfect, whether you're single or you're messed up or you're cracked out, whatever it is, your job is to show them God's grace, God's mercy, God's word, God's will. And the cool thing is, again, it's possible. He is with us. Think about those verses we abuse. Of course God is with us. He is an overcomer. He is greater than he who is in the world that are trying to eat my children. God saves. His will be done. Amen? Amen. This is the big one. This is funny. It's not funny. But I went with God. When I'm preaching on something, it's weird how I'll end up in a place that God will be like, oh, illustration. I'll be like, shock. Last night, Kale, my oldest, really wants a skateboard, and he's becoming, and not just like a Walmart skateboard, Dad, I want one that's like a pro skateboard, you know, I can ollie and jolly and flipper flapper and all those things, right? And by the way, I'm such a loser. Listen to this. So in the 80s, I grew up in Orange County, where there were skateboards. Like, there was like, in my county, there was like Tony Hawk and Peralta and all these guys. And so I walk into these skateboard shops with my kids. I'm like looking at these boards. I'm like, yeah, I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know anything about these boards back in my day when I was in Orange County. And all these kids look at me and go, and moved on. I have completely lost any cool factor if I ever had any, right? My son's like, Dad, quiet. So we walk in and we go to this place at a store, at a skateboard shop, and I'm just sitting there. And for 20 minutes, I listened to the lyrics of everything that was coming over the radio. And I don't listen to most stuff anymore. But in a matter of 20 minutes, we covered some ridiculously nasty, I mean, beyond. I grew up listening to nasty music because I had to find it, right? And so I found nasty stuff to listen to. This was stuff that kids listened to on the radio. And so as I was sitting there, my heart just started to get wrenched because these little girls were talking about partying and giving up their bodies and talking about a man's genitalia and all this stuff. In 20 minutes, every song that came on was about worldly things or sexual stuff. And not in any kind of pure way, shape. And I know I'm turning into an old fuddy-duddy, but man, my boys were in there, and they were listening to a T. Every picture, you know, on skateboarding for most kids, they must assume that every kid that skates anymore is a pothead. Everything on every board has pot leaves on it, Canada's this, da-da-da, naked women, all these things. And so I know this is the world we live in. I'm not a fool. But here's something that's true. There is nothing new under the sun, it says in the scriptures. But the veracity upon which it is coming after your kids is different. It is like never before. And this is my next point, is that you need to leave your kids to God's will and teach them that way. But there's also another side of it that's called shepherding, and you have to protect your kids. You have to protect your kids. There's no way that they can walk into an environment like that day in and day out. If you're putting 10 minutes of scripture and the word in their lives and prayer every day, and then sending them off to places where they're inundated by that 24/7, you will not win. You will not win. I was thinking about this with my boys, and last night I went home and I lamented to Jen, and I'm like, and my girls, I'm like, gosh, one in three girls are sexually abused these days. One in three. I have two. Am I a fool to think that I'm lucky enough to get the two out of the three that don't get abused or get sexually assaulted or raped when they get older? Am I one of them? How on earth am I going to protect my kids? And Jen and I just sat there and just lamented, and I'm like, God, I need you to come and help me raise my babies. And it changes the way you pray and the way you do things. Spiritual warfare is on our kids. They're fighting the flesh, amen? They're fighting the devil, and they're fighting the world. And if I do not stand in the gap and get out of friend zone and become a shepherd and a leader that loves and shepherds my kids Jesus' way, my kids will be devoured. Devoured. Some of us need to wake up a little bit to what we allow our kids to go through and what they listen to and what they watch and what they see. It's not cute to be like all the other girls that are showing off their stuff. It's not fun to let your sons be womanizing idiots like maybe their baby daddy was. It's not funny. From the time my kids were little, I was super convicted about my family does this. Oh, hey, boy, is that your girlfriend? Oh, hey, is that your girlfriend? There's your girl. She thinks you're cute. Used to do that all the time. When my kids started turning out, I became a believer. I'm like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I got to stop this. I know we're made for relationships, and my boys have hormones, and my girls have hormones, and God help me with all that. Amen. Is there a prayer you can say to take hormones out of your kids until they're 25? Wouldn't that be awesome? Keep eating that cake, honey. Keep eating that cake, girl. Don't worry about bathing till next week, sugar. Sorry. Guys, I am profoundly convicted about my kids, and for me it has to mean a few things, like and I'm not going to go down the legal road and legalistic road and tell you should have this and that. I'm just saying you need to be careful. You need to guard your kids' heart. We had to make a rule where we kept having screw-ups with devices, and so in my house there was devices, and they had access to devices all day long. I was blind. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, they're playing games. And they're having fun, and they come to find out that was not all of it. And so I had to make a decision. I had to be like, God, how do I monitor this? Show them that I love them and approve of them. And what I was doing, though, in my ignorance, not on purpose, was I was letting them be exposed to everything and anything that could come through the internet and friends on their device. And then I had to ask myself the question, why on earth should my 13-year-old have access to all of it? Not from a legalistic standpoint. I'm just talking about for me as a father, my kids can't handle it. They can't take all of that. And there are so many other broken men and women out there who need Jesus, with broken men and women, or broken sons and daughters that need Jesus, that there's no filter for them. So while you might have filter on your side, the other side has no filter. And then it merges, and then guess whose kids get devoured? How do we teach our kids to be in the world but not of the world? I guarantee you it's not giving them full access to everything in the world without you overseeing it. Be a jerk. I'm serious. Be a loving jerk. Be in your kids' business. Protect them with a shepherd's heart. David didn't just be a shepherd to God's sheep and lay down. He stood watch. He was up on a hill. A shepherd is to be out in front of the flock looking for enemies that are coming and putting them down. That's our job. That's the church's job. It's mom and dad. It is your job. Don't be their friend. Be their shepherd. What do you want them to emulate? What do you want them to reproduce? If they got to be ticked off at you for 2 years because you sheltered them from something that's letting sexting and stuff come in, or music that talks about this and that and the other thing doesn't honor God at all. And put, how many of you remember the junk you listened to when you were a kid still to this day? Huh? Too Short, NWA, all these bands, they're in my head. I grew up in the hoodie situations where we thought that stuff was funny. I can't get it out. I can't get it out. How many of you remember the first time you saw porn? Or the first time sexual stuff came in your house? It is so out there. How many of you were blown away by porn when you were 10, 12, 13 years old? How many of you got your world stolen? Then stop letting your kids have open boundaries without guarding them and shepherding them. It might sneak through, but don't let it be because you left your watch. Amen? Be a loving jerk. Protect your babies. And I'm not meaning, and so the problem with this is that we get into this and we write down 10 rules that everybody has to follow, and then if we do that, we're all holy and start judging each other. That's not what I'm saying. Is everybody with me this morning? Think about this. Ephesians 6, 11 through 17. Let's go through this together. We've talked about it for ourselves, but think about it from a parenting standpoint. Put on all the armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. By the way, how many of you can defeat that on your own? How on earth can any of you defeat what we just said, the spiritual warfare and the battles of the devil on your own? So do we think it's a facade that our kids don't face the same thing from the time they're very young? My two-year-old, my one-and-a-half-year-old, faces the same demonic oppression and fight that I do. There's no buffer. The devil doesn't go, oh, you're under 12? I'll come back in puberty. Oh, that's good theology, right? Puberty is where the devil starts to attack our children, obviously. The other day, I saw Naomi reach over, wanted a toy that Aiden had, and smacked him in the face and grabbed his stuff. I have never walked over to Aiden and smacked him in the face and taken things out of his hand. So I didn't show her that. Where did she get that? There's war going on inside her little flesh. It's cute as a Dickens, but it's still wrong. Amen? I'm sorry. Some of you think I'm a pansy with Naomi. Shut up. But look it. So what does it say? Therefore, because of those attacks, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will stand firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the sandals of peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these things, hold up the shield of faith to stop fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Here's the thing. This is how you battle. So guess what? When you had kids, this means now that you help them suit up. When you suit up, they suit up. And they do not learn how to suit up by themselves. When you're supposed to think about everything we just read, look at it for a minute one more time. Put on the body armor, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. Put on the sandals of peace, okay, shield of faith, salvation, the helmet of salvation. Those are the only ways I beat the devil. If I just put that on myself, or I'm not even putting that on myself, how can I expect my kids to have any shield from the battle? And so my job is to help my kids suit up in the word, in prayer, in understanding and identifying the devil. We started talking about the devil very early in my home. I remember like at 2 or 3 years old, my two older boys were living in Valley, and the Lord would wake me up in the middle of the night, and I had this like overwhelming need to go into my kids' room as they slept. There was just those two, and baby girl, Alyssa, was in her room, and the Lord would just stir something in my heart. I couldn't go back to bed. And he was like, go pray over your boys now. Go pray over your boys now. Go pray over your boys right now. And so I would get up in the middle of the night, like 3 in the morning, and it was weird because they wouldn't wake up. But I would pray at the top of my lungs over them and over their room because I felt like the devil was coming after my kids. Now, I either sound like a quack or spiritual warfare is true for my children. Why do you think if you are raising the next Jim Elliot, if you are a spearhead in God's army,
If you are the one that's supposed to change the legacy of your family out of addiction and brokenness, do you think that the devil wouldn't absolutely come after your kids? Of course he would. Matter of fact, if you're too strong, he will go to them. You have to help them put on the armor of God, teaching them how to pray, teaching them how to read the word. We'll talk about this next week. Teaching them how to be on their faces and seeking out the Lord and everything they do and praying, teaching your kids to pray for protection, to notify and see that the world that we live in is evil. It's evil. So there's such a fine line we have to do between teaching our kids to love the kids they go to school with, have good friendship, deep friendship, enjoy the things that God gave us on this earth, and at the same time know that every one of those could be a trap. Every one of those things could be a tool by the devil. You can't just release them and hope that they swim. You know what I'm saying? Approval addiction is a horrible place to raise kids. You hear what I'm saying? I'm so sorry if your mom and dad messed it up. I'm so sorry if you are a single mama. You're trying to battle through this thing on your own. I know it's not easy. I'm sorry if you've lost your kids at one time because of stupid things you've done. I'm sorry. But guess what? The Lord is with us. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is the overcomer of all things evil. And so you and your only place for you and your kids is to be in the presence of Jesus and to be in the kingdom of God and allow him to work through you and stop chasing worldly fulfillment and to be your kids' friend. I'm a lot of things to my kids. Sometimes I'm friendly, but I am not. Right? No, I'm not. I won't do that to them. Never mind. I'm not their best buddy. We're going to close this one. How many of us in here realize that we need the Lord? Amen. How many of us in here realize that you can't make it through a single day without him and give him glory? How many of us realize that we need help in our parenting and our grandparenting and our supernatural, spiritual mothering and fathering? Amen. This is the beauty of this thing. Here's the beauty of God's word is that God brings enlightenment to what the problem is. Is everybody okay? All right. God brings enlightenment to an issue, and then through the Holy Spirit, God has given us victory over this, right? So what about being a community? If you're here and you're a part of our church, I give you carte blanche, unless you're crazy, whack, smack, happy, carte blanche access to be able to become a spiritual speaker into the lives of our children that are in this church. Mothers that are by yourself, fathers that are by yourself, families that are broken, you should allow us access to be a community of faith that raises each other's kids and children and does this in a loving fashion. But you need to raise some of your kids. Does everybody know Walmart Mom? I've talked about Walmart Mom before. Right? I want to go grab her by her pink, whatever those stupid sweatpants are, and shake them and say, get control of your kids and get off the phone. Amen? But I'm not. She needs Jesus. Amen? But I'm saying in here, God, it is possible. We're talking about changing legacies of families. Right? Legacies. All of you have a legacy that was handed to you. Some of you, it was a beautiful legacy. Some of you had beautiful moms and dads of the Lord. Some of us had in between, and some of us had horrible, horrible situations in parenting. I think about stories like Jared's growing up and the things that God has brought him through, and Maria and Benny. I think about all these stories. We're trying to become a Mayflower generation for our kids. Well, guess what? It's hard, but it's completely possible in Christ. Amen. We can change the way that we were given things. Those of you who had good families, guess what? You could keep raising the bar. You can be like your daddy if he was a good godly man. Keep going. Be like your mama if she was a good godly woman. Keep raising the bar and then help other people in the church raise their babies to be godly men and women in generations. Amen? You can't dedicate your kids to the Lord if you're not dedicated to yourself. You need Jesus. We need him to be the leader of our household. If you're messing up or you have messed up, give yourself grace. Ask for help from the Lord, from the church, and your friends,
And let's do this right. We're going to continue talking about this next week. And our heart's desire is not to preach on marriage and parenting for the next 20 years so we get people in. The purpose is to raise disciples of Jesus who know. But listen, you once you were called to be a parent and you had a little one in your hand, whether adopted or not, you are their shepherd. Be reverent towards God because he has called you, but also trust in him to lead you. Amen? Let's stand up and pray this morning. Lord, we've always joked, and not joking here, that restored mom and dads have restored kids. How true that is. God, I just pray, I just want to take time just first just to give you thanks for our kids. Lord, I want to give you thanks even for the knuckleheads. God bless them. Lord, we thank you so much for every one of our children. We thank you that when we looked into their face, God, I pray that all of us would remember in thick or thin that we would be able to look into the face of that baby the first time we saw it. And God, I just remember being later in my life, seeing my kids and seeing you in them. God, thank you for the miracle of our babies. God, I pray, I have a heavy, heavy heart for mom and dads, God, who are struggling. For those of us who are really battling, those of us who feel so alone in our parenting. God, we're barely just making it day by day. Lord, would you wrap your arms around? God, would you come and be the father to the father? God, would you come and be the bridegroom to a bride who thinks she's all by herself? God, would you come in the middle of families that are so broken because of their past that they are just praying every day that their kids would forget about what they saw? Lord, I pray for the broken hearts of our little ones, God, that have not been parented well. Lord, I pray that you would cause a great memory lapse soon in them, Lord Jesus, and just fill it with glory and hope and love. And God, I pray for parents who have messed things up, God, that their kids would see grace. Mom and dad's being changed and restored for your glory and being made new, and that would cause them to run to you even more than it would have been the other way. God, I pray for the rest of the folks in here, God, that are just every day trying to be faithful over and over, praying for their babies, leading their babies, walking in this thing with them, God, that they would just be encouraged. Jesus, would you fill us right now with your presence and grace to parents? God, forgive us for where we've screwed up. But Lord, don't let us lay down and just give up. God, equip us. God, you are greater than he who is in the world, and you're greater than the one who is in the world that is attacking my children. You're greater than the one who is in the world who is attacking me and my parenting skills or lack thereof. And you have overcome this dark chasm between us and you. You've overcome it. That's what salvation is. And so if there's hope of salvation for me and my eternal life, there is hope and salvation for our parenting. There is hope and salvation for us to be overcomers in the world, that our kids do not have to be devoured like we were. They don't have to. God, would you protect them? Send your spirit, God, send us to be warriors and get out of the friend zone. God, help us to love our kids like you do. God, you discipline us. You love us. You have grace with us. You have patience with us. May that be our mantra of being a mom and dad in this world. May that be our anthem for being spiritual mothers and fathers in this room. And God, may that be the anthem of our church for these kids. Lord, we pray that this next generation will run beyond us more than we ever could have hoped or dreamed. God, let them be fully equipped in grace and mercy and truth and power. Yes, in Jesus' holy name. Church said. We have some time this morning for a ministry time. If this is an area that is tugging on your heart, if you're one of our prayer ministers, if you could just move out to the sides or in the front. We're going to play through in some worship right now, and we would just ask that if you need prayers for being a parent, you need to ask forgiveness through the Lord and want someone to walk with you. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, if your marriage is in trouble, you need healing, for praying for healing and bondage over your life and for your physical body, we want to use this time. Don't be afraid and embarrassed. Come and give prayer on the sides. and continue to allow the Lord to work and stir in this room. Amen?
Changing the nations, now rising up to take their place. I see an army, righteous and holy, filled with the Spirit and not afraid.